From the people that you've been speaking to, that $7.2 million in emergency support, have they said if they think that that will be adequate to tackle the scale of this outbreak?
Doug, I don't know what people have been telling you, but a lot of people that I spoke to in WA and Queensland, they weren't even aware of the funding at that time. It hasn't really trickled through to some of the communities up there. And I think there is that hope, but when you think about the funding that's being dedicated to other issues, $7 million doesn't seem that much when you've got, you know, hundreds of cases spreading and just the vaccination efforts and the testing turnarounds, like Doug was mentioning. You know, if it's taking 3 weeks just to get confirmation of cases, then it's just extraordinary that we're not seeing a more dedicated pop-up testing clinics or things like that happening.
Do we have a sense of how serious the cases are at the moment and the condition of patients?
From the people that I've spoken to, I know there has been one confirmed death in the Northern Territory. There was a second death, but I think they were still waiting for the autopsy results of that person. You know, obviously, a lot of Aboriginal people have, you know, chronic health conditions, and so having something like this for them is very serious. And if there's not a really seen collective effort to sort of tackle this and wipe it out and protect people from it, then I don't know what's going to happen. This is a serious disease, and it's a disease of poverty. It just goes to show that Aboriginal people, this targets them because they are living in the most poverty-stricken communities in this country. And that's part of why this is spreading throughout those remote communities.
Doug, that point about this disease being born of poverty, Donna Archie from the Aboriginal Medical Services Alliance in the Northern Territory, she wrote a piece for The Guardian where she spoke about that very thing. She said, how is it that this disease is spreading in one of the richest countries in the world? And her point was that an emergency response isn't enough, and some of those systemic issues around sanitation and overcrowded housing sit at the centre of this. Sarah, I wonder if that's the conversation.
Yeah, I think that is something that people are really aware of, and that it's been shone a light on again. I think there's a real frustration that we haven't seemed to have learnt the lessons from COVID, where, you know, we knew that this was going to have a disproportionate impact on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities. So I think it's frustrating and disappointing that we haven't really seen things change that much. There hasn't been those structural issues addressed. And when we see these things happen, our communities are bearing the brunt. You know, they feel forgotten about. They're scared. They don't have the information. They're just kind of figuring it out and trying to do the best that they can.
Sarah, Doug, thank you so much for taking us through that.
Thank you.
No worries.
That was Sarah Collard and Douglas Smith from Guardian Australia's Indigenous Affairs reporting team. You can find more of their coverage on the outbreak on theguardian.com, and we've linked to their latest pieces on the full story page. NT Health responded to The Guardian's inquiries after we finished recording. In a statement, they said they maintain a high standard of service and care in their health facilities, including providing essential items like hand sanitizer. They said as part of their public health response, they've been working with health providers and community organisations to develop in-language education resources, including posters currently on display at the Yindamu Health Centre and local shops, along with a targeted social media and marketing campaign about symptoms and vaccination. They said they will continue to monitor the situation and adjust their response as required. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Karishma Luthria. Sound design and mixing by Lou Hill. The executive producer of this episode is Miles Herbert. Don't forget to subscribe or follow Full Story wherever you listen to podcasts. And please leave us a review. I'm Noor Haidar. Thanks for listening.